This podcast is brought to you by Squarespace. Whether you're growing a business, starting a blog, or opening an online store, Squarespace gives you everything you need to create a professional website. For a free trial and 10% off your first purchase on new accounts, go to squarespace.com/sciencefriday and use offer code sciencefriday4. That's Science Friday and the number 4.
Up next, it's our video pick of the week. And here with me, as always, is our managing editor and correspondent for video, Flora Lichtman. Hi, Flora.
Hi, Ira.
You went on a yes. You went on a local expedition for us, right?
I love Salt Lake City. Yeah. I just want to throw
it out. They love you, it sounds like. Tell us about your expedition.
We went on an adventure for this week's video pick. And we went looking for a local celebrity. But I actually was hoping to fact check that with you guys, maybe via a Plazometer. Who in the audience has heard of a sage grouse? So there you go. Okay, and who here has seen a sage grouse strut?
Oh.
Wow. Wow. Pretty good. But before we get more into this, I want to bring on our sage on sage grouse. Jason Robinson is the Upland Game Coordinator for the Utah Division of Wildlife Resources. Thanks for joining us today and for being our tour guide for this week's video pick.
Thanks, Flora.
Describe what the strut looks like and why these birds do it.
Well, it's kind of hard to explain, but I'll do my best. Basically, a sage grouse male has a white collar that's really bright. And what it does is they gather on these leks, and a lek is a location where males gather to kind of strut their stuff for the females, the hens. And the males dance around a little bit, all puffed up. Their tail feathers are all erect. They have very sharp, pointy tail feathers. And they have these air sacs on their chest that they fill up with air, and they rub their wings against those stiff feathers on the side and pop out and make kind of a unique noise that attracts the females and hopefully makes them successful for mating.
And I think we have a little clip of the noise of the sage grouse while it's strutting and puffing up its chest. Can we hear that?
Wow.
Whoa.
Can you do that one? Can you do that noise?
You know, I've been asked several times to do that, and I'm not able to.
This is Science Friday from NPR.
I'm Flora Lichtman.
And I'm Ira Flato here at Salt Lake City talking about the sage grouse. So you went on this expedition to look for one, right? And you found it right in the first minute you got there.
Unfortunately, no.
No.
We did not see any sage grouse, despite Jason's excellent efforts. We went all over, mountain to mountain, and we were totally unsuccessful. But our viewers...
The good news is,
if you go to our website, you can see them, thanks to Jason's agency, which has beautiful footage of these birds strutting around, and they do this every year at this time, right?
Right, yeah. So they go to the same locations year after year for generations, and so we keep track of that information. You know, normally on a good day, we didn't have the best weather, but usually they're pretty predictable when they're going to be there and what times and that sort of thing.
And these birds are facing some challenges here.
They are. They're actually a candidate species for listing under the Endangered Species Act. So there's a lot of conservation efforts to try and save sage grouse and keep the populations from declining.
Well, can I ask a question? I found it interesting. The video is up on our website at sciencefriday.com, and as part of the video on it, I watched your adventures. It was kind of interesting. You said that it requires a huge range of area, a lot of open space for it to be successful. Why is that? Why does it need so much territory?
Well, kind of referencing that, sage grouse are a sagebrush obligate. That means they have to have sagebrush in order to exist. But not just a few plants. They need vast landscapes of sagebrush, anywhere from 10 to hundreds of square miles. And the main reason for that is sagebrush habitats are arid. They don't get much precipitation. There's not a whole lot for them to eat, so they're adapted to eat the sagebrush. So they need these large expanses to be able to fulfill all the life requirements they have.
And they can even gain weight over the winter, you said, because they do so well.
Yeah, so they're so highly adapted to eating sagebrush, and sagebrush is actually quite nutritious, the leaves, that they can gain weight in the winter if they have enough sagebrush available.
So if the populations are declining, why can people still hunt these birds?
Well, that's actually the question I get asked most often, and it's probably one of the more controversial things surrounding sage-grouse. You know, our agency's primary goal and objective is to keep sage-grouse on the landscape. We work very hard at doing that. One of the things to keep in mind is sage-grouse are an upland game bird, so they actually produce more young than we'll be able to survive. So some of those are going to die of predation or starvation or other, you know, other factors. Here in the state of Utah, we actually harvest less than 3% of the total statewide sage-grouse population. And one of the benefits that we get from that is we get a lot of data that we wouldn't get otherwise that helps us manage the species. We also have an outspoken group. Hunters are conservationists, and they're very good at conserving species and being advocates for those species. And in addition to that, it also generates some funds for protection of habitat, for hiring biologists to be spokesmen for sage-grouse and for conservation.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you want to see the Flora's great adventure out there and looking for the sage-grouse, it's up on our website at sciencefriday.com, and also it's very funny.
Don't miss it. These birds are really striking.
They are, and I've never seen a sage-grouse before, and I was really struck by how beautiful it is and how unusual it is for Utah. Thank you, Flora.
Thanks, Ira.
Thank you, Jason Robinson, for being our tour guide today.
Thank you.
It's up on our website, sciencefriday.com.
This podcast is brought to you by Squarespace, the all-in-one platform that makes it fast and easy to create a professional website, blog, portfolio, and online store. Squarespace Commerce provides a powerful and flexible solution that allows you to quickly create a store and start selling products. Squarespace Commerce is included with a business plan subscription and is integrated to work with every Squarespace template with a fast merchant account setup and comprehensive order management tools. Squarespace has professionally designed templates with 100% drag and drop functionality, letting you customize pages in seconds. Squarespace is an all-in-one platform integrating all your website needs: domains, design, development, commerce, hosting, and 24/7 customer support. Here's a special SciFry offer. Go to squarespace.com/sciencefriday, sign up for a free account, then use offer code sciencefriday4 and get 10% off new accounts. That's squarespace.com/sciencefriday and use offer code sciencefriday4. If you're a SciFry listener who uses Squarespace, please let us know. Post a link on our wall at facebook.com/scifry. Thank you, Squarespace, for your support of Science Friday.